From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies in for Terry Gross.
Man say, I got to take hold of this here world, baby. Women say, eat your eggs and go to work.
Today, Denzel Washington and LaTanya Richardson-Jackson talk about co-starring in the Broadway production of A Raisin in the Sun. Richardson-Jackson, who's married to Samuel L. Jackson, is nominated for a Tony for her performance. A Raisin in the Sun debuted in 1959 and is known for bringing African-American audiences to the theater, but not always.
Sometimes when there's a predominantly white audience, sometimes there's not as much laughter because they're not sure if they're supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, they laugh in places sometimes that we're like, say, they're laughing?
Yeah.
Also, rock critic Ken Tucker reviews the second album from singer-songwriter John Fulbright. His 2012 debut was nominated for a Grammy. That's coming up on today's Fresh Air. First, the news. This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies in for Terry Gross, who's off this week. Our guests today are actors Denzel Washington and LaTanya Richardson Jackson, who've gotten rave reviews for their starring roles in the Broadway revival of the influential play A Raisin in the Sun. Denzel Washington's been nominated for 4 Academy Awards and has won twice for Glory and Training Day. Among his other films are Malcolm X, Philadelphia, American Gangster, and Flight. He also won a Tony Award in 2010 for his leading role in the August Wilson play Fences. LaTanya Richardson Jackson has been appearing on stage, screen, and television for more than 30 years. She received a Tony nomination for Best Actress for her role in A Raisin in the Sun. She's married to fellow actor Samuel L. Jackson. A Raisin in the Sun debuted on Broadway in 1959 and was adapted to film 2 years later. It tells the story of the Youngers, a struggling black family living in an apartment on Chicago's South Side. The family's fortunes could change with the arrival of a life insurance check on its way to the family's matriarch, Lena, played by Richardson Jackson. But her son, Walter Lee, dreams of using the money to start a business and get out of his job as a chauffeur. Denzel Washington is Walter Lee, the role played by Sidney Poitier in the original Broadway production and the 1961 film. This production has received a total of 5 Tony nominations, including one for Best Revival of a Play. Denzel Washington, LaTanya Richardson Jackson, welcome to Fresh Air. This play debuted in 1959. What did it mean to each of you? I mean, the play itself.
Actually, I'd never seen the play. And I saw a production maybe 10 years ago when they did it on Broadway. But actually, I had never seen, well, I obviously didn't see the original, but I hadn't seen the film either. You know, Lorraine Hansberry, I mean, I've been very blessed to get to interpret two great playwrights, African-American playwrights, Lorraine Hansberry and August Wilson. So it is a real pleasure and an honor to speak her words.
Yeah, Ms. Richardson Jackson, did it mean anything to you coming in?
This is a real important play in the canon of American plays, and it's important that we are always mindful that Lorraine Hansberry's play, that A Raisin in the Sun, sits in that canon with, you know, The Glass Menagerie or Death of a Salesman. It's important to me that it's done, and actually done often.
Let's hear a clip from the play. This is early on in the play, and you, Denzel Washington, or you play...
Okay, I'm not going to listen to it because I don't like to hear it.
Really?
So
why is that?
No, because I don't like hearing my own voice.
Well, I apologize for that. The rest of us kind of like it.
Okay, well, you listen to it, and then, LaTanya, you
and
point
I'll
at
tell
me.
Him when. Okay, and okay. Then I'll tell him when to come back.
Okay.
Okay, this is our guest, Denzel Washington, playing Walter Lee Younger. This is a point early in the play where he is, Denzel Washington, you're having breakfast with your wife, Ruth, who's played by Sophie Okonedo. And the plot revolves around this family that's living together in the Chicago apartment, and they're expecting a $10,000 insurance payment that the matriarch will get because her husband has died. And Denzel's character, Walter Lee, has big plans to start a business. His wife, not so excited about it. Let's listen.
Walter, leave me alone. Eat your eggs, they're gonna get cold.
Peter, man say I got me a dream. Woman say eat your egg. Man say I gotta take hold of this here world, baby. Woman say eat your eggs and go to work. Man say I gotta change my life. I'm choking to death. Woman say your eggs is getting cold.
Walter, that ain't none of our money.
This morning, I'm in the mirror, in the bathroom, I'm thinking. I'm 40 years old, I've been married 11 years, and I got a boy who sleeps on the living room couch, and all I got to give him is nothing. Nothing but stories about how rich white people live.
Eat your eggs.
Damn my eggs. Damn all the eggs I ever was.
And that's our guest Denzel Washington and Sophie Okonedo in the Broadway production of Raisin in the Sun. Sophie Okonedo, who plays your wife, said that this play by Lorraine Hansberry is so deep that the more she reads it, the more she finds in it. You keep digging and digging. She says there's no bottom to it. Did you find that as you performed it?
Well, I think that's one of the great parts of live theater. You know, there is something new every night, and you know it's like music. You have the sheet music, but then you play it, and there's different rhythms to it. There's different things you hear. There's things you hear for the first time, or you know, the mistakes are the best part sometimes too. So,
your character is a man who has a lot of dreams, and one of the things he clearly talks about from time to time is seeing, you know, white executives in restaurants, you know, making deals and having access to a life that he doesn't. And I wonder if that's something that you experienced as a young man, or your father.
No, not like this, I guess, because he's a limo driver and drove around a very wealthy man. He could see it, but he's seeing it from the car. He's opening doors. He's not sitting in there having dinner. You know, it's a part of what he doesn't understand. He's, as he explains to his mother, they're just sitting there turning deals worth millions of dollars. As he says, well, no, they're not just sitting there turning deals. They're, you know, he's not up in the office when they're doing the grunt work. So that's the gap that he doesn't understand, that it isn't that easy. And as soon as he gets an opportunity, he, you know, gets in bed with the wrong person. He doesn't understand business. He thinks he does because he drives around people who do. For myself, I wasn't around a lot of rich white folks as a kid. Although, I mean, no, that's not true totally. I went to private school in high school, so, you know, I got real close to them, and I realized, oh, they had a lot of dirty laundry too, or the kids of rich white folks. So it wasn't that big a gap for me because I was living with the people, and we got to know each other, and we became good friends, and, you know, we found out how much we were alike.
Well, LaTanya Richardson-Jackson, I hope you'll let us play a clip of your performance. This is one that we have.
I don't care.
This is a moment where the $10,000 insurance payment, you're the matriarch of the family, and this is where this $10,000 insurance payment from your late husband has arrived. And, you know, the family is divided over what is to be done with it. Your son, played by Denzel Washington, has plans to start a business. You have a daughter who has hopes to go to medical school. And at this moment, you're sitting down and you speak to your grandson, Travis, played by Bryce Clyde Jenkins. Let's listen.
I want him to be the first one to hear it. Come here, Travis. Travis, you know that money we got in the mail this morning?
Yes, sir.
You know what your grandmama going to done with that money?
I don't know, grandmama.
She went and she bought you a house. You glad about the house? It's going to be yours when you get to be a man.
Yes, sir. I always wanted to live in a house.
Give me some sugar then. And when you say your prayers tonight, you thank God and your grandfather, because he the one who give it to you in his way.
And that's our guest, LaTanya Richardson-Jackson, who is appearing.
Do you have another clip of that? I wasn't very intrigued by that reading.
You said you weren't intrigued by that reading?
No, I didn't quite like it.
What was wrong with it?
I was just sitting here listening to it, saying it as I said. Well, that didn't have a lot of melody.
See, that's why I don't like. That's why I don't like to listen.
Now you see, I'm hearing a compelling performance, but you're hearing every little subtlety that didn't go as.
Yeah.
And the performance grows over time, I guess, right?
Yes, it does. Thank God for that.
Well, tell us a little about this character. I mean, she's the matriarch of the family.
For Lena. You know, she's a Southern woman. She's still a Southern woman who has come north with her husband, presumably seeking a better life, and they end up, it's that conundrum. You end up in the north with a job working, but you lose the land. You know, in the south, you've got the land, and somehow, you know, coming from sharecroppers and, you know, her family situation on farms and whatever, it's a vast place that she comes from to be sort of pushed into this hole, this rat hole that she ends up in. So it's the frustration with that she has built up inside of her as well as what Walter Lee has built up inside of him. But somehow she makes a better resignation about it because she's fighting for the survival of her children and, you know, her family.
And her kids. And the kids have aspirations maybe that she didn't have. I mean, they take for granted a roof over their head and enough to eat and want bigger things.
I think that she, if there was a dream, she talks about her dream. Her dream was to fix up a house and to have a garden, to fix it up and have a garden. Now, those were her dreams. These other things, these lofty ideas of running businesses and, you know, being a doctor, you know, a nurse or a teacher maybe, but a doctor for Benita is something that she can't even fathom. She just, you know, it's too far in the world, in a world view for her to even access.
Now, you're from the South. You're from Georgia, is that right?
I'm from Atlanta. Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. And you're, of course, a very different generation than this woman. I mean, you sort of came of age in the 60s, right?
Right. In the 60s and the 70s, yeah, I did. I came of age in it, but I remember it. I remember my grandparents and my mother and my aunts. I remember these women very well, which is, you know, the thing that I've tried to infuse into Lena's character. I remember them and their mannerisms. I remember their hand movements, you know what I mean? I remember them with their handkerchiefs.
Right. And the dialect is distinctly different, I think, than the other characters, yours.
Totally. But, oh, no, it's totally different. They, you know, they are of the North. They're above the Dixon line. I'm below it.
Denzel Washington, did you have family that came up from the South that, I don't know, that evoked, you know, kind of that resonated here?
All African Americans, you know, came up from the South, either from the West Indies or through the South. You know, we were all on slave ships and worked on plantations. And I'm sure that's LaTanya's history. That's my history. That's the history of every African American I know. My mother was born in Camilla, Georgia. My father was born in Virginia. My father was a farmer. His father was a farmer. His father was a slave.
We're speaking with Denzel Washington and LaTanya Richardson Jackson. They're starring in the Broadway revival of the play Raisin in the Sun. We'll continue after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're speaking with Denzel Washington and LaTanya Richardson Jackson. They both star in the current Broadway production of Raisin in the Sun. When I watched the film, The Raisin in the Sun, I mean, it's impressive, it's dramatic. It's not especially funny. The play is very funny. Did you guys do things to bring out the comedy in it, or is that a matter of just having a live audience in front of you?
I think it's a more natural rendition of the play, that the archetypes that had to be played in the 50s, we've relaxed. We don't have to be those people now. We don't have to be the best look. You know what I mean? The best look. We don't have to always, you know, black people had an image issue. So a lot of it had to do when the play was done before and when the film was done, I think, had to do with the image that was being portrayed in a different kind of way. We are looking at this play, I think Kenny Leon, the director, says that he's trying to make an intimate play out of a huge master work. And the only way that you can do that is to humanize the characters and sort of lift that onus of archetype off of them, where everything is played in such a haughty, lifted way.
So you mean like
an affected manner? It's not affected that way. You see what really possibly went on. They would have killed each other if they had been in there in a space that small. You know what I mean? It would have been more fighting than was going on.
Tiny apartment sharing a bathroom with your neighbors, right? Yeah. So you're saying that
I didn't know it was funny till the first audience.
Not that funny.
Yeah, who knew? I mean, it wasn't like we were working, we were trying to be funny, you know, people. And you know, again, it's a difference, the times we live in now. Maybe that was no laughing matter then in 1959, and now there's maybe the audience comes to with a different. And it's different culturally, racially. Sometimes when there's the predominantly white audience, sometimes there's not as much laughter because they're not sure if they're supposed to, you know. But it can be one person or a couple of people that get it going, and then it.
Yeah, I mean, they laugh in places sometimes that we're like, say, they're laughing?
Yeah.
Well, LaTanya, you were saying a moment ago, were you saying that, you know, 40 years ago, to present kind of an acceptable image of middle-class blacks to mainstream culture, they had to kind of tighten it up and be serious in a way that you don't have
to
now?
Yeah. That's my assessment of it. That's how I see it, because it's, I remember my grandparents especially, if we were in a mix of people where there were members in white society and the white culture, she was always saying, just sit up and you know, look nice. Be nice and be quiet. You know, there was just certain things.
That's right. I remember that.
There were certain things that, you know, certain protocol that you were just asked to adhere to that made it, you know, because you were always representing the race. And the race had an image problem. That's what I'm saying. The race had an image problem because everyone was concerned with all of the stereotypes of how we were perceived. So everyone I knew was trying to undo that perception of loud, you know, raggedy, whatever, dirty, whatever. My family was in a constant hunt to undo all of that. And sometimes, they used to even tell us, if you can't put the sentence together correctly, keep your mouth shut. Shut up. So it's not like that now, though.
Right. Well, you know, this play was known for bringing African-American audiences to the theater when it opened, and still is. Are you aware of that on stage, that it's a different kind of audience?
I think that's what Denzel was just saying. Yeah, we are aware.
What do you mean a different kind of audience? Anybody that can afford to come can
No, are you aware that the audience, it's like when is there more black people say than white people?
I don't look out there, so no, I'm not.
No, and you got stage lights on you, but I'm just wondering if there's a different feeling in the response that you're getting.
Yeah, I would have to look to know that it was a different. No, I don't know. I mean, no. I mean, because I don't look out there. I mean, unless somebody actually spoke. Maybe I could, I could say, oh, that's a, or think. But I'm not even thinking like that either. I'm not tuned into who's what color and what they might be saying or anything like that.
You know, I'm the totally unorthodox side of all of that because I'm looking. And I can tell you that there's a difference. And, you know, we even have what I call the church crowd. I was like, oh, we got to church crowd.
Yeah, well, we know
today.
Certain days. Yeah, matinee, Sunday matinee, you know, it's going to be, you know, or if you come to work and you see buses out front, you know, you might know that it's going to be a bit different.
And what's the church crowd like?
Loud, but fun. You know what I mean? They enjoy the play. They get absorbed into who the characters are. You know what I mean? They just go with the story and they are invested. It's like, you know, even one, you know, if Walter Lee is doing something, you can hear them say, oh, Walter Lee. You know?
Well, I was there on a
matinee. Oh, Denzel.
Yeah, that's when they're not like totally on point.
You know, this production has earned a lot of Tony nominations. You, Denzel Washington, did not get one. But Ben Brantley wrote in the New York Times a piece suggesting that maybe you didn't get one because you kept your ego in check. And he meant this in a complimentary way. He said you kind of kept the phrase was the blistering and bluster to a minimum. Would you agree? Were you conscious of that?
I didn't see the article, but I didn't. What do you mean, like scene stealing or something, or when I go downstage and well upstage other people? Or something?
I think he was talking about how stars come to Broadway, and immediately they carve a space for themselves in whatever scene and say, "I'm the star and I'm here," and that he didn't do that, but he never does that.
No, I'm not wired that way. And, you know, I was acting you know, on the stage long before I was doing movies. So, you know, it's how I was trained, where I was trained, and how I started. And it's just, for me, it's coming back home. You know, I'm just a popular actor. I don't walk around and say, hey, I'm a movie star.
I'm a movie star.
I'm a movie star. I don't know what that, what is that occupy? Yeah, let me throw my scarf. Get in my Ferrari. And,
oh, no, don't say that.
Yeah, well, I might get in my Ferrari. Right. No, I don't have a Ferrari, but, you know.
All right.
Aston Martin.
Let me get in my blue Aston Martin.
Well, and we should note that Denzel Washington did win a Tony in 2010 for Fences.
No, he's won them all.
Right. There aren't many things he has not won.
He's won them all.
LaTanya Richardson.
I got to do an album. I got to sing next.
We're going to miss that.
We're
going to
miss that. Yeah. One must know one's limitations.
The Tony, the Oscar, the Grammy. We'll be looking forward to that. Good.
Spoken word.
Denzel Washington and LaTanya Richardson Jackson star in the Broadway revival of Raisin in the Sun, which runs through June 15th. They'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air.
The Neubauer Family Foundation supports WHYY's Fresh Air and its commitment to sharing ideas and encouraging meaningful conversation. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from William Morrow, publisher of Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner's Think Like a Freak, about how to apply the principles of Freakonomics to solve problems. From Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And from Angie's List, connecting consumers with user-reviewed contractors, an online marketplace, and concierge support for home improvement services. AngiesList.com. This is NPR.
Every time I try to write a song, it always seems to start where we left off.
Coming up, rock critic Ken Tucker reviews the new album from John Fulbright. Also, Denzel Washington tells us how he prepared to play an alcoholic pilot in the movie Flight. And LaTanya Richardson Jackson talks about watching the career of her husband, Samuel L. Jackson, take off.
I don't want to have another friend. I don't. Just want to set things straight, apologize to you, and somebody tell me what's so bad about happy. Tell me, where's it going?
This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies in for Terry Gross, who's off this week. Our guests today are actors Denzel Washington and LaTanya Richardson Jackson, who are starring in the Broadway revival of A Raisin in the Sun. The play debuted in 1959 and was adapted to film 2 years later. Denzel Washington has the role played by Sidney Poitier in the stage and screen versions of the work. LaTanya Richardson Jackson has been nominated for a Tony for her performance. LaTanya Richardson, now this role was originally going to be played, I think, by Diane Carroll, and then she left, and you came in, I guess, about a month before opening. I don't know how much rehearsing had been done before that, but did that present—
2 weeks.
Did that present any challenges to either of you?
It presented a lot of challenges to me because I had to jump in and learn all those lines. You know, I felt like I was coming from behind. I didn't have any prep time. So, yeah, it was challenging. It was challenging for a while, you know, even challenging during the previews because I felt that I was rehearsing doing the play or, you know, trying to find Lena. You know, when you know that you're going to do something, you do a certain amount of prep work in trying to dig in and sort of bring the person, the character to life. So I didn't get an opportunity to do that. But when I tell you I had the prayers and help of many, mm-hmm. and every person in that cast was like standing there, like looking at me like, come on, we can do this, you know. So I'm not complaining at all. It was difficult, but so much in life is.
Latanya Richardson Jackson, you are married to Samuel L. Jackson and known for having one of the most durable Hollywood marriages. You met where, in college?
Yes, we did. We met in college. He attended Morehouse College, and I'm a graduate of Spelman College in Atlanta, in the Atlanta University complex.
And you were both actors then, or did you get him into it?
You know what? He got himself into it because he was trying to get a grade out of a speech class. Instead of going to speech class, he didn't want to do a speech. And the director told him, well, if you come and you're in the play, because he never had enough guys to do the plays. He said, if you do the play, then, you know, you don't have to do the speech. That's how he got involved. He was a marine biologist. He was trying to go and swim with the fish or something.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he just got interested. He was always along the way because his aunt who taught school in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where he was from, put him in plays because he could learn lines and stuff, you know, but he had no design on it until later.
And so you both, I gather, anticipated acting careers.
No, I had an acting career. I had been at Spelman since I was 14 years old.
You had a career?
I had a career.
Were you working as a young actor?
I was in it in Georgia with a woman by the name who's just passed away in January, Georgia Allen, at 96 years old. Took me to Spelman College when I was 14 years old to join the children's theater there. So I was there from the time I was 14 until, you know, forever. And I won an award in Georgia. It was the first year that the theater awards and Georgia Theater Festival had been integrated. Hmm. That must have been 1967.
Wow.
67. And I won the Best Supporting Actress Award. So I was like, really like, oh, no, I'm an actress.
Well, I mean, it's apparent you've got some chops. I mean, you've accomplished some things. When you had your daughter Zoe, together, you kind of put your career on hold to hang at home a lot more, right?
No, I didn't kind of. I did.
You
know,
okay.
It was like, hang them up, do what you can. I kept my toe in it, you know, a little bit. I got to do some work in the summers when she wasn't in school. But, you know, Sam and I both came from broken homes, as it was. Well, fatherless homes, both being raised by our grandparents. So we had grandfathers. You know, for a long time, I thought that fathers were unnecessary, but you had to have a grandfather. But after that, being the revolutionaries that we thought we were, we said, you know, the most revolutionary thing we think we can do is for a black family to stay together. So whatever it takes, that's going to be our challenge. That's going to be our fight. So soldier on, and that's what we've done. So, yeah, Miss Zoe is a producer now at Top Chef.
Mm-hmm.
Top Chef.
She's what, 20, in her late 20s, right?
I'm not saying, you know, a woman is not supposed to tell her. She'll never come at me saying, why were you on the radio saying how old I was?
Well, you know, while you were, you know, kind of working intermittently and raising your daughter, I mean, Samuel becomes a big star. And I wondered what kind of challenges that presented in the relationship. I mean,
you mean what kind does it still present now when he's here in New York and
too,
wondering what the dinner is and I have to go to work? It's those kind of challenges. You know, I'm Southern, so there's still something there for me about the concern of the wife and the mother for the family in terms of how we get through our day, eating, living, clothed. And I just take that on. And I helped create that space, so I'm trying to honor it and be responsible for it. So it's a challenge when he's gone, but it's also a challenge when he's there. So it's a lot, you know. You miss them and then you say, I'm working too, but I'll get it done. No worries, no worries. Keep doing whatever it is you're doing. It gets a very free space to create. I don't.
We're speaking with Denzel Washington and LaTanya Richardson-Jackson. They both star in the Broadway production of Raisin in the Sun. We'll continue our conversation after a short break. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air, and if you're just joining us, we're speaking with actors Denzel Washington and LaTanya Richardson-Jackson. They both star in the current Broadway production of Raisin in the Sun. We have a few minutes left, Denzel Washington, and I wanted to talk a bit about Flight, the film that you won an Oscar nomination for in a leading role last year. This is a film where you're a pilot with a serious drinking problem and begins with one of the hairiest scenes you'll ever encounter in a film where there's an in-air emergency that leads to a crash landing, and you're the pilot. You want to tell us a little about how you prepared for the role?
I just drank every night. I got an opportunity to work with Delta Airlines in their flight simulators. The screenplay, I don't think I'm out of line saying this. The screenwriter is a gentleman who was a recovering alcoholic, so he knows about it. The director as well as being a pilot and a great director.
That's so they Bob Zemeckis, the director, and yeah, John Gatton's right there, the screen.
John,
right,
yeah. And they knew what they were talking about. And it was, you know, there's an old saying, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. So it was on the page. And it was a role that, you know, especially in film, you just don't come across really great scripts. And this was one of them. So it was something I had to do.
I want to play one scene from the film Flight. And in this film, you do some heroic things in the air when a plane starts to fall apart and manage to execute a crash landing in which most of the occupants of the plane survive. However, you were also kind of drunk and high on cocaine at the time. And this is going to be a problem when the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, gets into an investigation. And in the scene we're about to hear, you're at a funeral for one of the members of the crew who did not survive, and you approach a flight attendant who you've known for many years, and you want to talk to her about what she might tell the investigators about your condition the day of the accident. The flight attendant is played by Tamara Tooney. Let's listen.
Now listen, Margaret, mm-hmm. You know I'm in the middle of this investigation. NTSB is investigating the crash.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him next week.
Yeah, well, I'm a little nervous because I was out the night before the crash at dinner.
Yeah, with Trina.
Right, and I had two glasses of wine, and they're probably going to ask you about my condition that morning or whether you thought I had anything to drink.
I've known you 11 years, Whip.
Right.
You want to tell me that you and Trina went to dinner and you had two glasses of wine?
No.
Sounds like a nice restaurant. Now, which one was it?
You have to say that. It was an ordinary day, Margaret. I mean, it was an ordinary day. You know me. I was in shape to fly. And, you have a problem saying that?
It's a lie, Whip. It's a lie. Trina told me you two hadn't been to sleep.
Well, my lack of sleep had nothing to do with that plane falling apart, Margaret. I'm just trying to get this thing straight. Now, you think any other pilot could have landed that plane and saved more lives?
I didn't say that, Whip. I can't imagine another pilot doing it.
Imagine your son, Trevor, in this church looking at you in that box. Or my son visiting me in prison and
please,
for the next
Whip,
40
enough,
years.
Enough, Whip. Don't you think we've all had enough?
I need this, Margaret.
And that's our guest Denzel Washington in the film Flight, the flight attendant there played by Tamara Tooney. This guy is such a fascinating character. I mean, actors love characters that are complex and conflicted. This guy is a bona fide hero, but he's also, how would you describe his flaws?
Well, he's got a serious disease, and he's a professional liar, and he's damaged goods. He's in a lot of pain, but he's also great at what he does, and he has to finally, ultimately, face his demons, as we all do. And in an honest way, and you know, I always found it interesting—not interesting, I didn't, because I made sure to do this. There's a turn in he doesn't actually turn in the film until he asks for God's help. He's on the stand and he says, "God help me!" And the prosecutor, whatever, Melissa Leo says, "What'd you say?" Because he kind of mumbles it and he says, "God help me." And that's the beginning of the rest of his life. And God does help him. And he has to pay the price for the damage he's done. And in fact, I remember talking with the producers and the director. I was like, I think he should get more time in prison. I thought that we kind of let him off the hook, only giving him 5 years. He should have done 20 years.
You know, that's interesting you say that. Because,
or I mean, more.
That is a powerful moment in the film near the end where he's managed to cover up most of his, you know, his drinking and the danger that he put people in, and is about to get away with it and somehow can't. And, you know, when you were last on our program, you were talking about the film Training Day, where you play this rogue cop. And you told Terry Gross it was really important to you that he get – that justice be served. And that meant that he not only get killed but be, you know, rejected and humiliated by his community. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you felt strongly that this guy had to be held – accountable in a way.
The wages of sin is death, and that's what I wrote on the cover of the script on Training Day. And you know, it's not coincidental. I mean, I do this on purpose. I look for that in role, and I turn it into that if it's not even on the page. I did it in Training Day, and that's what it was for me. That was the reason I wanted to do it. The same thing with Flight. It's not. It's where he gets to. He has to pay for what he does. But there's an arc to the character, you know, like in this play or in any good screenplay or play, you're looking for the arc of the character. In American Gangster, he ends up a lonely man with a box with his belongings in it, stepping out in a $2 suit in front of a penitentiary. So it wasn't a movie about glorifying drug dealing. It was a movie about the price you have to pay for doing that.
You know, the other thing that occurred to me as I watched your performance is there are a lot of scenes where your character has been drinking quite a bit, but he's a functioning alcoholic and he's used to covering it up. And I wonder kind of how you play somebody who's, you know, impaired but pretty good at hiding it.
Well, I think what you I don't know where I learned that, from acting or from life experience. You don't play drunk. You try to be sober. You're not acting drunk. You are drunk. So you're actually trying to be sober, you know, unless you're comatose. But
right, but you're not drunk.
Well, that's what I do. I mean, I can't give you the how I do it because I don't know. I saw a play called Ruin, and Felia was in it. Condola, but there was a kid in it, and all he did was rock back on his heels. I said, "Man, the way you did that was great. What were you doing?" He said, "I just kept sitting back on my heels, but like, until I was almost going to tip over, then I had to lean forward to balance off my feet." And I was like, and I started doing that, and I was like, oh. So even now, doing the play, so I stole this from you. I forgot his name, the actor. Whenever I'm standing still, or if I need to remind myself in the scene in Raising in the Sun, especially if I'm standing still, I'll just get back on my heels again. And it's just like a balance thing. So sometimes it's just something, you get a hold of something very technical. You know, whatever handle you use to get in.
Yeah.
You're also very observant, though.
Well, yeah, you got to, yeah, that helps.
You know, most of us.
Like, I was watching Mom last night walking. Let's see, I hate to talk about this stuff because you don't want to make people self-conscious.
When you say
just
Mom,
the way
you're talking about
rock,
your...
Mama, LaTanya, rocking back and forth, going to that room to get that money. I said, look, she's putting extra on it. Just going to make me feel bad. All of a sudden, she's 20 years extra older. Like, all right, I'm going to give you this money.
Feet were hurting.
Yeah, is that what it was? Your feet were just hurting.
I just came from work. That's what I love about doing plays, though, because you do it where you find it. It's like, oh, tonight,
right.
I'm tired.
Right, yeah.
I've been to work.
It's never the same. You don't know what it is. One thing can throw you and propel you. Anything. You don't know what it is. You know, you can trip right before you come on stage, and that could inform the whole scene. Last night or whatever, one of those nights, the girls, I always call it Benita, Anika, was spraying the roach spray stuff, and it spilled. So when I came out, the floor was wet. And I got to come running across to snatch the check, to look at the check. So now I'm aware of the floor. And it actually threw me a little bit in a line. I almost forgot a line because I'm thinking about the floor. So that's, you know, it's live and it keeps going. You ain't no stopping.
This production of Raisin in the Sun is going to be ending in a few weeks. How do you feel about it coming to an end?
Vacation.
I'm in tears. I can tell you now, every day, I don't even like for him to tell me how many days it is.
How many shows?
How many
shows
are left?
You don't want to know tonight.
I'm in tears because it has truly been the highlight of my theatrical career.
Wow.
I thought For Colored Girls a Spell was, but this has taken me into the stratosphere of what was possible in terms of what gets done on stage.
Wow.
This cast for me, I'm like, God, dog, look at her do that. Watch that. Watch him. I see stuff and I just sometimes, that's why I get lost sometimes because I'm watching.
Mm-hmm. Like, you kill me. LaTanya will come up with some ad lib sometimes. She'll just say anything.
Keep it moving.
Well, Denzel Washington, LaTanya Richardson Jackson, congratulations on the play. It's terrific. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for coming, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Denzel Washington and LaTanya Richardson Jackson star in the Broadway revival of A Raisin in the Sun, which has been nominated for 5 Tony Awards. It runs through June 15th. Coming up, Ken Tucker reviews the second album from singer-songwriter John Fulbright. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. Rock critic Ken Tucker has a review of John Fulbright's second album, simply titled Songs. Fulbright's an Oklahoma singer-songwriter in his mid-20s, whose 2012 debut was nominated for a Grammy Award. Ken says the new album is at once fascinating and problematic.
Ever-changing, ever-moving, ever-finding, ever losing every moment of our choosing, there's a cause. And as for lonely, I can show you how to live a life alone. All it takes is getting used to getting lost.
John Fulbright's Songs is the most interestingly uneven album I've heard in a while. The work of a very smart young man, it's also the work of a very self-conscious young man, one prone to mistaking articulate melancholy for wisdom. Fulbright's debut album contained bold melodies and told stories about daydreamers and offbeat people. On this new one, Fulbright opts for pure mood setting, sounding morose in an attempt to signal subtle passion, but that's not really how it plays out.
Write a song. Write a song about the very song you sing. Pin a line about a line within a line. Write a song about a song. Think a thought. Think a thought about the very thought you think. Hold a pen and write a line about the ink. Think a thought about a thought.
That's Write a song about writing a song that includes lines like, think a thought about the very thought you think. This is the kind of thing that can impress a high school student as heavy or profound, but in the context of John Fulbright's career, it sounds dismayingly like the sophomore jinx. That's the time-honored music industry truism that, after pouring your life to date into your first album, the second finds you scraping for subject matter and metaphors. Fortunately, Fulbright finds more than a few good ones here.
Every time I try to write a song, it always seems to start where we left off. Tonight I'd rather stand up straight, look it in the eye, and won't you tell me what's so bad about happy? I don't. Just wanna set things straight. Apologize to you and somebody tell me what's so bad about happy.
That's Happy, and while it doesn't actually sound happy, the sound is fortified with a surging vocal and the sort of catchy hook that Fulbright might do well to allow into his songs more frequently. Fulbright alternates between acoustic guitar and piano on these songs. And I find the piano-based songs, with musical phrases that punctuate the emotions he sings of, to be of greater artistic success.
She knows a thing or two about me. She didn't learn in passing. She knows I'm scared of the dark. She knows I'll bleed on command. She knows I'll shut my mouth if she'll take my hand. And just how cruel I can be. She knows a thing or two about me.
On that song, She Knows, Fulbright uses a good influence that popped up on his last record, Randy Newman, for the chords and the ironic stateliness. I noted in my Fresh Air review of Fulbright's debut that he could use more humor. Well, that certainly didn't pan out. For a reason why, I noticed this new quote in his publicity notes. When I discovered Towns Van Zandt, that's when I went, you know, this is something to be taken pretty damn seriously. Uh-oh. Emulating the ultimate Texas singer-songwriter of the 70s, that way lies strangling similes and a doleful romanticism. It comes as a relief whenever Fulbright shortens his lines and phrases his emotions with succinct clarity.
Don't answer the phone. answer the door. Pretend nobody lives around here anymore. No need to get up. I brought the wine, and I feel alright for the very first time.
Ultimately, Songs feels like the work of an artist who's still figuring out who he is, where he wants to go, what he wants to elaborate upon or invent anew. There's no doubt that John Fulbright is a substantial talent. Now he just has to cut himself a break and start enjoying that talent a little more.
Rock critic Ken Tucker reviewed John Fulbright's new album called Songs. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, and Teresa Madden. John Myers directed today's show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.
I haven't told myself the truth since the first night you were gone. I'd like to think I was living easy. Love was mostly living. Maybe it's the wind blowing us together. Maybe it's the world blowing me away. Maybe the tall trees bow down before us.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Road Scholar, with educational travel adventures to 150 countries, including Cuba, at roadscholar.org. From Angie's List, connecting consumers with user-reviewed contractors, an online marketplace, and concierge support for home improvement services, angieslist.com. And from Fifth Generation Incorporated, maker of Tito's Handmade Vodka, American-made and gluten-free. Recipes at titosvodka.com. This is NPR.
This week marks the 25th anniversary of the Chinese military's bloody crackdown on the student occupation of Tiananmen Square. On the next Fresh Air, New Yorker correspondent Evan Osnos talks about his years in China, observing the contradictions in a society committed to economic growth, technical innovation, and authoritarian rule. His book is Age of Ambition. Join us.